A couple of weeks ago, we talked about how in the kingdom of God, the word accountability does not exist, and that no one holds anyone accountable. So, in my thinking, that would pose to us this question. If there is no accountability, if no one's the boss of someone else, if no one is in charge of someone else, what is it that's going to restrain us? We, as the children of God, without accountability, what's going to restrain us? Philippians 2, 3 through 8 says, "Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourself, not looking to your own interest, but each of you to the interest of others. In your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Jesus Christ, who being in the very nature of God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being in human likeness. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even unto death on a cross." My words for this is, Christ not seeing equality with God something to be grasped, submitted himself to his Father in heaven, even unto death on a cross. The willful submission, Jesus Christ, having all power and authority, being in total control, made a willful choice to submit himself to his Father in heaven. Everything about the kingdom of God revolves around willful submission. God's desire when he created man was that we would choose to love him, not that we would be forced. Otherwise, he would have made us into puppets, so that he could just pull strings and we would do all that. But instead, he gave us free will with the long-range goal in mind that the most valuable son is the one who has absolute freedom but still chooses to do what's right. The best representation of God comes from that individual who has total and absolute freedom, but his nature or her nature will cause her to represent her Father in heaven. Genesis says, "Then God said, let us make man in our image and according to our likeness, and let them rule over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the sky, over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth." The image that God is speaking of is spirit. So man was created as a spirit being, and his likeness was the character of God. Our image being spirit, our character being that of God, or the likeness being the character of God. I say it this way: the citizens of the kingdom of God are not governed by law. We don't have something that tells us, do this, don't do that. The nation of Israel got that in exchange on Mount Sinai when they would not receive the Spirit of God. When God said, I want you all to come up here, and they said, no, we'll send Moses, you tell him, we'll do whatever you tell him, and he relays to us, we'll do that. They received law instead of the Spirit. But we have been given the Spirit of God, and it's by character and culture that we're restrained that comes out of that image and likeness. That is our total restraint. In Thessalonians, we're told that for the mystery of lawlessness is already at work around us, and only he who now restrains will do so until he's taken out of the way. We're all familiar of the man of lawlessness. This is the system of the Antichrist. just as surely as the body of Christ is a many-membered part, the Antichrist is many-membered part also. It has its own system. Jesus even said that at this time, many Antichrists have already gone out among you. So there are many pieces of this Antichrist. And up until recently, it has been restrained. It's been held back. There have been, the Holy Spirit is the one that's actually holding them back. And that's what he's talking about. Only he who now restrains, that's the Holy Spirit. And he will do so until the point at which he is removed. It's my belief that he has been removed. But he worked in many ways. We had social norms, religious norms. We had systems of etiquette, systems of government, systems that, where there was some level of restraint on the world. Since the removal of the restrainer, we have seen an increase in bigotry, an increase in difficulties in race. We've seen murders, increase in mass murders. You're seeing more and more theft, more and more corruption. You're seeing cross-gender bathroom questions come up. There's all kinds of societal difficulties that are being brought to us because this restrainer has been removed. And I'm going to throw in a little commercial here. Tommy's going to send y'all a link to a PDF or to an ebook. It's a free ebook that Sam Solon wrote called The Removal of Restraint. And it talks about this very thing in Thessalonians where it's talking about the man of lawlessness being set free. So we even ourselves are living in a situation where there's less restraint. There's less holding us back. So something has to restrain us from being what I define as lawlessness, as doing whatever's right in each of our minds. I mean, the very thing that we're seeing is whatever anybody can dream up, they're doing. And that is, and lawlessness is when everyone does what is right in their own mind. As a contrary to a lawless society, Scripture says this about us. We are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for God's own possession, so that you might proclaim the excellencies of Him who has called you out of darkness into light. We're seeing those two kingdoms, the kingdom of darkness and the kingdom of light, being portrayed more and more dramatically. As the man of lawlessness was removed, these two kingdoms have come to a place where there's a huge chasm. There's not much of society that is middle of the road anymore. Either they are spirit-type beings or they're worldly beings. Previously, there was a vast majority that were kind of good people, not really serious about the things of the Lord, but pretty good. And that was when the restrainer was there restraining them. But now we're seeing this darkness that we were called out of and this lightness that we were called into becoming very distinct. Your kingdom, it says, for the kingdom of God is not a matter of eating and drinking, but of righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. And he who in this way serves Christ is acceptable to God and approved by man. That's a pretty good place. Be both acceptable to God and approved by man. Serving Christ, though, that word there is not you doing something for Christ. Christ needs nothing from you. If you have all power and authority in heaven and on earth, you really don't have much need for people to serve you. What that means is serving. And he who serves or offers up Christ in this manner will find himself acceptable to God and approved by man. You are qualified to do this based on your sonship. Galatians says, for you are all sons of God through your faith in Jesus Christ. Scripture also says, and anyone who calls out on the name of Jesus, calls out on the character of Jesus, will be given the power to become a technon, a son of God fully reconciled to his Father. Romans says, for all who are being led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. Undeniably, you are sons of God. Romans 8:19 says, for the anxious longings of creation waits eagerly for the revealing of the sons of God. Even all of nature desires for the sons of God to be revealed. One of the things nature knows is back to what we said earlier, that we were created in the image and likeness of God for the purpose of ruling everything in the earth. When the sons of God are restored to their appropriate place, when we're revealed fully, nature knows that order will come, and when order comes, peace will come, and there will no longer be striving within nature itself. So how did we become sons? We became sons through reconciliation. Now all these things are from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. It was as though God was living in Christ Jesus himself, reconciling man to himself. Reconciliation is a term that brings about agreement. When we are reconciled to our Father, we come in total agreement with him. When we're in total agreement with him, we are then in his likeness. We have his character, his culture dwells within us, and it becomes our own personal restraint. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were making an appeal through us, and we beg you on behalf of Christ to be reconciled to God. Part of our purpose in life, part of the reason God has assembled y'all in the manner that he has, is so that you can appeal to the world that they might be reconciled to God. His desire is that all of mankind, you know, he said, Scripture says that God's desire is that none should perish. His desire is that all should be reconciled to him, brought back into an agreement with him of their own willful nature in order to carry his image in the earth today. Romans says it this way, for if while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his Son, how much more, having been reconciled, shall we be saved by his life, by his resurrected life, by Christ's resurrected life in us. No longer I who lives, but Christ who lives within me. That becomes our testimony. This thought that we've had for years that, well, we're just a sinner saved by grace, there's nothing further from the truth. Yes, you were a sinner. Yes, we were saved. But that's not all we are. There was a purpose in that salvation. I mean, why did God go to so much trouble to create us if he knew he was going to have to save us? As Sam Solon says, he'd been better off just never to have created us at all. But there was more behind it than just the salvation of mankind. God wanted a representation, an ambassadorial representation. Remember what the end game of this is that you're going to be given a new heaven and new earth once again to rule. And that new heaven and new earth is incorruptible. And as I've said before, it's not because that new heaven and new earth is made out of kryptonite. It's because those who will be given charge of it will rule it exactly like God. And in that sense, it makes it incorruptible. If those in charge have the character and nature of God, the earth, the heaven and the earth that we rule over, will be incorruptible. There'll be nothing that can corrupt them. The purpose of salvation was to bring you to a point of being reconciled to God so that you could be his ambassador, so that you could be the one delegated to represent your Father in heaven in the earth today and in the earth to come. This is about, Hebrews says that we as the sons of God, when we mature, will be the exact representation of our Father. Salvation, the purpose of salvation is to bring us to a place of beginning that process of coming to maturity so we look just like our Father and that He can trust us with anything. Ultimately, in the earth today, what we will live to see is this thing that I've quoted y'all many times. Many nations, and he's talking about in the last days, many nations will come and say, "Come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord and to the house of the God of Jacob," which is the body of Christ. The house of God is the body of Christ. "That He may teach us about His ways and we may walk in His paths." Through your culture, your character, you will teach the world how to walk in the ways of God because that's the way you walk. They'll see it. The comparison of the mountain of the Lord to the world, the comparison of the kingdom of light to the kingdom of darkness, that staunch contrast will be what will draw them to God. When you have peace in the midst of the troubled times, the world will say, "Teach us your ways. Where do you find your peace?" Remember what I showed you in Romans 14, 17. The kingdom of God is about righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. As I've said before, righteousness being that right standing with God. When we come into the order of His kingdom, God will send a spirit of peace to attend us. Jesus said to the disciples, "I give you peace, not the peace of this world, but peace that passes all understanding." We have noted before, that's the peace that gave that carpenter's son the ability to sleep in the back of the boat while all those fishermen were panicking. If anybody should have been panicky in those circumstances, it should have been that landlubber who was a carpenter's son. But he was asleep because his circumstances did not dictate his peace. You and I are maturing to that place where our circumstances will not rob us of our peace, that we'll walk in peace fully like that. And when the world sees that, they will be drawn to it and they'll question, how is it that in the midst of this turmoil, how is it in the midst of the crises of the world, you can remain peaceful and joyful? When that spirit of peace attends you from God, your life will then produce a fruit of the Spirit known as joy. Thus, the kingdom of God is about righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. So, when I say there's no accountability in the kingdom, I'm not saying we're going to run wild and lawless without the accountability. The truth is this, we don't need the accountability. We will not need it because our character and our culture will restrain us fully. You as a citizen of the kingdom of God are not governed by law, by do not taste, do not touch, do not handle. Scripture says those things, Colossians 2:21, those things are destined to fail with use. Laws will never restrain us. If we had the law of do not taste, do not touch, do not handle, there'll come a time when that thing will fail us and we'll be distraught. So there's something better. There's something better. And it's that character of Christ that's in you and His culture that's in you that will restrain you. And that all comes out of the image and the likeness of God. So ultimately, our restraint comes from both the character and the culture of our Father in heaven, of whom we will become exact representations of fully. Your sonship, the purpose of your salvation was to bring you into sonship, and the purpose of your sonship is to bring you to a place where you are the exact representations of your Heavenly Father. Okay? Questions? Thoughts? Don't just try and live within the law. Don't just try and not do the wrong things. know that your character is. You know, I say this about God. Part of His nature is, when we talk about God is love and His nature, He's incapable of doing the wrong thing. That is the character that is being developed in you, to where you're incapable, even when you're given absolute freedom, total choice, no restraint of any type, your nature is going to be that you're incapable of doing the wrong thing. That's the place we all want to get to. That's that character that is coming up in us. And it is there. That peace of God that was placed in each one of us that causes us to be alive dictates that that character is there and that culture is there. Our willful submission to it is the only thing that's in question. Very good. Thank you.